We started a series last week called Rise, and in this series, we're talking about the power to rise that only Jesus can give, that His powerful rising from the dead set in motion an upward momentum that's available to everyone who aligns with Him. Each Sunday, we'll be applying this dynamic to areas in our lives, such as escaping our past, learning to forgive, healing our wounds, breaking old patterns. And today we're going to begin with recovering from grief and loss. Grief is a process we encounter when we suffer loss. But in Christ, we can grieve as people who still have hope. I think we'll find this morning that our losses, while we're in Christ, our losses no longer bring us as low. And our hope now keeps lifting us up, no matter what loss we may encounter. Loss comes to us by many means. Something is taken from us or stolen. Someone leaves. Something is misplaced or forgotten or is released and deliberately sent away. Sometimes we experience loss by our own decisions or mistakes or negligence or by the abuse or greed of others. Sometimes, maybe, perhaps even by the Lord, we experience loss. Loss creates an emptiness in us. An empty space is created in our schedule, in our routine, an empty space in our thoughts, in our words, in our hearts, our affections. That's what loss does. It leaves us with holes that need to be filled, grief that must be experienced. Dr. H. Norman Wright writes about this topic and says at one point, people think that going through the losses or crises of life are the exceptional times. He says, I see it differently. I see the times of calm as the exceptions. Life really is going through one loss after another, one crisis after another. Instead of avoiding talking about these times, let's do our homework, he says. When you know what to expect, you're not thrown by them as much, and you're going to be better able to recover. Now, that's a very smart, I think, wise summary of what I hope we can achieve in just our few minutes today. It's maybe not the most positive thing to consider, but it is pretty real that life is full of disappointments and losses. And the less we're surprised by that fact and the better prepared we are for that fact, right, then the stronger we'll move through it and the better we'll heal. Moving through the process of dealing with loss is what we call grief. And grief is a real, very human, very universal experience. Jesus provides hope, though, that lifts us and leads us through and eventually out of grief and even into joy. Just before His death on the cross and knowing the rising that would come next, Jesus used these words to His disciples. He said, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Now is the time of your grief, He says. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Now, the context of those words, of course, is the night before He goes to the cross. So He's trying to prepare them for what's about to happen. But there, I have to imagine, and I believe this is true a lot of times when we hear Jesus talking, there's something underneath there, there's a deeper truth there that doesn't go away regardless of the circumstance. I believe that when Jesus talks to His disciples, We can hear those words as His disciples today, and we can hear these words as His disciples today. When He says, you will weep, and you will mourn, and you will grieve, but it won't last forever. And there will be a time of joy. It will come from me. It will come from seeing me. And that's the kind of joy no one can take away. Later, the Apostle Paul applied this same truth to help Christians in Thessalonica deal with the death of loved ones. And so this is grief regarding the death of a loved one, but the principles are still strong. Hear what Paul says to these Christians. Brothers and sisters, We do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe, and here's where the power comes from, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. The source of our hope is the rising of Jesus. He says, you do not grieve like the rest of humankind who have no hope. That's what we want to unpack this morning. And so to begin, I've asked Josh Weber, our worship arts minister, to share part of his story with us. So let's welcome Josh as he shares his good words with us this morning. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. This morning, I'm briefly going to share about two chapters in my life, both involving grief. And the first one, many of you have already heard about from this platform. I've shared it in the past, and it began a little over 8 years ago when I lost my mom to cancer. She battled this disease for a little over a year, never making any improvement, and it eventually took her life. And the grief set in well before her passing and has continued well after. Those months and years were a very dark time because I had never experienced that type of loss in my life. It was not the result that I was hoping for and praying for. But looking back upon those years, now removed from the eye of that storm, I can see how the Lord was probably the closest to me that he's ever been. I could not have made it through that season if it were not for his word. His word came to life during that time for me. It brought me hope. It brought me comfort. It brought me peace. Scriptures like the words of Jesus, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. The book of Job brought much solace to me when we look at his life circumstances. And right there at the beginning, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And countless psalms of lament, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. These scriptures became my anchor. His word truly sustained me through that stormy chapter of my life. Now let me tell you about another chapter that many of you probably don't know about, also involving grief, but with a far different outcome. For years, Krista and I were unable to have children. We struggled with infertility, and it was devastating. We felt helpless and hopeless. We had been married for about 7 years, and people would just flippantly say, when you having kids? It's about that time, not getting any younger, you know, things like that. And I know they didn't mean to be insensitive, but man, it cut like a knife. I remember leading worship through that season. That was my most difficult time in ministry. And man, all your friends in that life stage, they're starting their families. And so you feel left behind, you feel less than. And unless you have experienced infertility, you have no idea what it's like. And so we kept the grief to ourselves because we kept saying that people can't understand what we're going through. And that was a mistake because it just engulfed us. It was suffocating us. And it was only after a time we finally realized that we couldn't carry the burden on our own. And so we started to share our struggle with our friends, with our family, and those who would walk alongside us. And I'll tell you, that was a turning point. God sustained us through his body, through his people. People prayed with us, they supported us, and they were just present with us. We would not have made it through that journey on our own. We needed his people during our grief. Now, as I alluded to earlier, this chapter of our lives, it has had a far different outcome than the previous one. We have been miraculously blessed with three boys. And while this chapter of ours, it has had our desired outcome, being open about it, we've heard about other people's struggles. And I know it doesn't always end up that way for everyone else. It pains me to see friends. I know I've got friends in this room right now going through that personal hell. And man, if I can just be honest, I don't understand why they haven't been given the desires of their heart. But it won't stop me from praying that God would still bless them. I promised myself this wouldn't happen because, you know, this I know it has a happy ending for us, but I realize that there are some here today that maybe right now you're going through inexpressible, suffocating grief, or you've suffered great loss, and I recognize that I'm not currently in that situation. And so I don't want my words to seem trite or contrived or minimize the struggle that's taking place. I'm 8 years removed from losing my mom. I'm 6 years removed from that struggle of infertility. And that's the only reason that I can even stand up here and talk about this right now. If I was still in that dark place, I could not do this with my grief engulfing me. But now with that distance, I'm able to look back and I'm able to see that God was involved and that he was at work in the midst of those difficult chapters of my life. And this is what I have learned. So far, this is what I've learned. Life is not neatly packaged, clean, and nice. It is messy, it's troublesome, and sometimes it's just not good. Losing a loved one, not good. Infertility, not good. Cancer, affliction, loss, these are not good. But I have also learned this, and this is what I hold on to, and I hope it encourages you today. Jesus is good, and he is always with you, no matter the outcome of your trial, whether tragic or joyful. And we can cling to that hope. We can cling to that promise. And that's what I want to leave you with. Jesus is good, and he is always with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. A lot of wise words from Josh there. I want to take the rest of our time just to dig into this further. I want to begin by looking at how to endure the emotion of grief, enduring it without being crushed. The Bible consistently acknowledges the reality of our emotions. Consider Psalm 6, where the writer says, "I'm worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow." You ever been there? I know you have. Later in Psalm 42, we read, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God." There it is, the antidote. As we need to rise, hope is what lifts us up. "For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you." Just as Josh reminded us, it's in those times of being downcast that we're not, it's not that we're weak because we're downcast, but they are the moments in which we then turn to a good and ever-present God. Emotions are not to be discounted or seen as unfit for the life of faith. Sometimes in the name of being spiritual or some nonsense like that, people may dismiss strong emotions as signs of weakness or lack of faith, that somehow that we're not being spiritual enough. But really, that's unrealistic and unhealthy. It's wise not to let ourselves be completely controlled or by our unchecked emotions, without a doubt. But emotions are part of who we are as created human beings. And few emotions are as powerful as the complex combination of emotions that we call grief. That's why they say it has stages, right? Ones that really bounce around these aspects that we've become familiar with of grief. Emotion can be like an ocean inside of us. Until I experienced the grief of deep loss, I felt pretty much in control of my emotions. And maybe you're kind of like that too. I would have advised others to not let their emotions get out of control, not to be ruled by them. And that's not an incorrect perspective. But when it comes to grief, it's simply incomplete. Until I faced the grief of loss, I never knew my emotions could be so strong, such a force to carry me, to crash over me. I never knew so much water could come out of my eyes. I never knew my thoughts could become so thick with fog. When the tide of grief swells in us, we'll just simply find ourselves riding it out sometimes. We're moved, literally and unpredictably. But life in Jesus means that those storms that rise up inside us, man, they can be calmed by His voice. Peace, be still. Waters can be parted. Faith and peace can rise in us. Because when the storm that of grief is in us, when that tide begins to swell, He's in us too, right? He's in me and He's in you. And He's there, or at least He can be, if you'll invite Him in. And He's okay with your grief. And He wants to be there with you in that grief. Paul puts it like this at one point: we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. See, there's in Christ, there's an internal infrastructure, right? We've been given some, if you've ever poured concrete, you know what rebar is. It's reinforcement bar that's inside the concrete while it's wet. So when that concrete hardens, there's this steel reinforcement laced throughout. And I honestly believe that that is a wonderful word picture of what the Holy Spirit does in us when it comes to our emotional health. Yeah, yes, we experience emotions because we're human beings. And yes, the tide of grief can be quite strong. But there is something in us through the Holy Spirit that reinforces and girds us up so that while we are hard-pressed on every side, we are not crushed. There's something stronger inside us that keeps us whole and ultimately still healthy. Jesus provides it. It's sturdy. A friend of mine from high school youth group is a pastor and actually an award-winning author. At 39 years old, he suddenly had to have open-heart surgery. And he's written a memoir about that experience. It just came out. And in that book, he observes very poetically, "We know," he says, "that death does not become us. Just as we were not meant to die, we were also not meant to be in pain. We were meant to be strong, glorious beings made in the image of God. And we were not meant to be confused, though we all are. We were meant to be lucid. We were meant to understand who we are in a relationship with our Maker and to His creation. I believe we long for this clarity of heart." I believe he's right. I believe that when things come at us, or we lose a loved one to cancer, or tragedy besets us, and we suffer loss in all kinds of ways, something in us says it shouldn't be this way. And we're right, but we live in a fallen and falling world. So as we endure the emotion of grief, we can aim ourselves still in a good direction. And that's the second thing I want to highlight this morning, and that is this idea of eventually discovering acceptance. Discovering acceptance. As Josh mentioned, Job was a man well acquainted with grief, beyond what most of us can imagine. And he said at one point, and Josh referred to it, chapter 1 of the book that bears his name says, "Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship after experiencing deep loss." And this is what he said: "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." And it says, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. That through trust in God, Job reaches a level of what we would call today acceptance. He absorbs what happens. So many times when hard times come to us, we ask why, right? Why do hard times come? And, And I understand the impetus behind the question, but pastorally, let me just say that as I've sat with people more times than I can count, and the why question has come up, I have simply concluded that that why question is a source of untold misery. Because I truly believe, ultimately, that part of our surrender to God, to our trust in God, to and this idea of absorbing what life hands us without blaming God, but also recognizing the fallen world that we live in, that God does not do things to us of a tragic nature, that part of our surrender is relinquishing our need to know why. That too is part of our surrender to God, or even our idea that we could comprehend it if He tried to tell us. But that in humility we recognize that we're not the ones that have to know why. That's not easy, but in some ways it's easier than constantly asking and getting caught in that riptide of trying to find out why something happens. It's insightful and useful when we note that grief is this complex set of emotions. It includes anger and depression and bargaining and denial. And then it's necessary to understand that acceptance, as we've been taught in our culture, is the resolution at which we aim. Those are helpful concepts. But I have to say, and I don't pretend this is any great newsflash, the process of grief is a gauntlet that will shove and pull and batter and bounce you between all those states of heart and mind. We start perhaps in denial and ask, how could this happen? But that quickly turns to depression. Will the pain ever end? Which then spawns anger. Why is life so unjust? But then sometimes we can be sent into these moments of acceptance too, of calm and perspective. I see how life can go on. And that's the process of grief, this ping-ponging between all of those. Psalm 94 says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. As we bounce around in the process of grief, we have to look for, when we can, those calm waters of consolation and trust that come from the Lord. And when we find ourselves there in that acceptance, in those moments where we see life will be able to go on and it is what it is, then we work and we pray to remain there as long as we can. And we stretch those moments into hours, eventually into days. And then eventually we string days of acceptance together. And we try to make that our headquarters, where we live now, a place of acceptance. And we venture from that place less and less frequently. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. That as our hearts inevitably do experience trouble and turmoil and tumult, that He says, there's a way to calm those waters, and it's trust in me. It's acceptance. It's absorbing and knowing. You know what? Lots of things can happen to me. Lots of things can shake me. But one thing cannot be taken from me, and that is my relationship with my Creator, made possible through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the place of acceptance we can all keep aiming ourselves toward. Now, we have to admit, acceptance is underwhelming, right? It's just acceptance. It is the desired outcome of the grieving process, but it's just coming to terms with the loss that we experience. It's just filling in the hole so we can begin laying the foundation for a future. It's the end of the beginning. Acceptances. Frederick Buechner writes in his memoir, even the saddest things can become, once we've made peace with them, a source of wisdom and strength for the journey that still lies ahead. Because there is, hear this today, there is still a journey that lies ahead. And that brings us to our third and final thought this morning. We see it in Scripture and we see it in life, that as we endure the emotion and eventually that hole can get filled in and we come to a place of acceptance, then it's time to build. And that begins by taking inventory. It's been said that what we lose in the fire, we can find in the ashes. But only if we're looking. Only if we're looking. In the middle of grief, if you are in the middle of grief this morning, if you're in that tunnel, Josh talked about how what he got to share today, he couldn't have shared while he was in that tunnel, and we all can relate to that. If you're there today, or you're hearing my words wherever you are, and you're there today, you'll barely be able to tolerate what I'm about to say, and I recognize that, though I pray you will tolerate it, and maybe it will give you some hope. What I want to observe in this third point is poetically expressed in Psalm 126, where it says, "Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." Sheaves, meaning over their shoulder, a bundle of harvested grain, right? Picture the wheat over their shoulder, wrapped up with a cord, a bountiful harvest. What this is poetically saying is there are seeds of greatness, seeds of harvest of joy in each tear we shed. So go ahead and weep. You can get through what you're going through. You can. I'm not saying you will, because not everyone does, and we need to face that reality too. Sometimes things come to us in our human lives, and they do crush us, and we're not strong enough in and of ourselves to rise above it. We're just not. We've seen it happen in our life, perhaps, or in the lives of people that we love. But you can rise above this as you lean on God. The grief you endure can supply the raw material for who you can become as Jesus helps you. A powerful way to do that is in gratitude. In all our circumstances, Paul said to the Thessalonians, we should give thanks, all circumstances, for that's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. To move through each circumstance of life, taking inventory and giving thanks. There's real wisdom in the old advice of counting our blessings, isn't there? Taking inventory means looking around, acknowledging what we've lost, calling it for what it is, but then also appreciating what we still have. And when we get to this point, assessing what we've gained through the pain. Assessing what we've gained through the pain of grief. We gain wisdom. We gain insight. We gain fortitude. We gain strength. We gain grace and compassion. And most of all, we gain hope. In Isaiah 40, we read that when we hope in the Lord, we renew our strength. And that's what I hope you'll hear this morning. If you've gone through grief, if you're going through grief, and if neither of those things are true, then let me tell you, you're about to go through grief, right? Sooner or later. And when it happens, I want you to know and remember and hear the word of the Lord that says, when you hope in Him, your strength can be renewed. You will renew your strength. You will endure the emotion. You will discover acceptance and trust, and you will find hope. We all experience loss, and it is biblical and necessary to grieve those losses. We mustn't suppress heartache or sorrow, but in the power of Christ, we can rise. Our losses need not bring us as low as they used to. The hope that we have in Jesus can keep lifting us up. Amen.